Daily Breakfast with Africa Milani.
Live, online, streaming countrywide on the 702 app.
DStv Channel 856. 92.7 and 106 FM.
Professor Catherine Chu is a director and professor at the Center for Global Surgery at Stellenbosch University. Joins me on the line now. Professor, good morning and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Africa. Thank you for having me.
I suppose a partial ban on the sale of alcohol for off-site consumption, limited, of course, to between the hours of 10 in the morning and 6 in the evening, Monday to Thursday, is going to have some impact in curbing the new rates of infection that we are talking about as we are in the middle of a third wave. How impactful is it going to be, though, do you think?
So, I mean, I think, first of all, the limitation of alcohol, the partial ban, is quite important in the attempt to decrease COVID-19 transmissions because it limits gatherings. And we know that persons who consume alcohol perhaps don't have the best judgment in terms of social distancing. And so I think that the attempt to curb COVID-19 transmissions, it will be effective for that. The study that we did, of course, didn't look at COVID-19 transmissions, but rather trauma admissions.
And perhaps let's then reflect on what a partial ban on the sale of alcohol for off-site consumption, what impact does that have on trauma admissions then?
Right. So first of all, we know that during COVID-19 waves, like the last ones we have, hospitals are overwhelmed in terms of the number of COVID admissions they have. And COVID admissions use a lot of resources, particularly intensive care and hospital bed admission resources. And during these waves, what we attempt to do is try to limit the number of other patients that are non-COVID related to come into the hospital. And we know that alcohol consumption is a major risk factor for unintentional and intentional injuries, so both road traffic accidents, stabbings, gunshot wounds, for example, here in South Africa and worldwide. And what the objective of alcohol bans, one of them in South Africa, especially the complete bans, was to try to reduce the number of trauma admissions. And so what we did was to examine that relationship between trauma volume and alcohol bans during COVID-19. So last year we looked at trauma volume at a hospital, Worcester Regional Hospital, for the entire year of 2020. And we tried to compare the volume and incidence rates of trauma, stab wounds, and trauma admissions during 5 different calendar periods. 1, when alcohol sale was allowed as normal, that was the beginning of 2020. 2 times when alcohol sales were completely banned, and 2 times when they were partially banned, like the one we're having into effect starting today. And what we found is that during the partial bans, there was no difference in trauma admissions and operations compared to when there were complete bans. So to restate that, complete bans resulted in a significant decrease in trauma admissions and operations. And what that translates into is that when we have complete bans, we are then help the hospital reduce the number of non-COVID admissions so that we have the resources to treat the COVID admissions. What we don't know with this wave, of course, is how overwhelmed the hospitals will be in terms of their beds and resources. Just to say, we are much better prepared as doctors now going into the third wave. Each hospital has a much better COVID-19 plan, if you will. But certainly decreasing the number of trauma admissions would be very helpful. And from our study, we did not show that partial bans would be helpful for that.
No, fair enough. And ultimately, I mean, that is the reason why the National Coronavirus Command Council advises that we have these bans on the sale of alcohol to free up the trauma units, right? And to free up the resources, doctors, nurses, beds, etc., to take on issues of COVID-19 when they do become overwhelming, as they are in Gauteng right now, where there are instances where patients will have to be driven from one hospital to the next, simply because there is a lack of ICU beds when they are in need of ICU beds. When you say we are better prepared as a healthcare system, what do you mean? How are you, Professor, prepared now compared to certainly March of next year when we were first responding to COVID-19?
Thank you for that question. So I think the one way that we're better prepared is that we have a plan in terms of bed allocation, resources such as oxygen, ICU beds, and the staffing around that. Since before 2020, there had never been staff that were allocated to treat COVID-19 patients, and nor did any of our staff know how to treat COVID-19 patients. So since then, the staff has been much better educated, trained to treat COVID-19 patients, but also there's a plan, for example, as COVID admission numbers rise, where in the hospital will be the first COVID-19 ward and who will take care of those patients and which other services will start being cut, because there has to be a give and take. So, for example, as a surgeon, I know that elective surgery will start being reduced as the hospital is taken over by COVID-19 cases. Now, again, to refer to the trauma, because that's a controllable admission, patients do not need to come in with trauma if they don't have it. And limiting alcohol has been an effective way to decrease those admissions. Here in South Africa, up to 75% of the emergency room visits sometimes are for trauma. So if we can decrease those numbers, and our study showed it decreased by about 60%, that would really help in terms of hospital resources.
It's slightly outside of your purview, I imagine, Catherine, but do we understand why there is such a decrease in the demand for trauma units? People are not driving from one place to the next, so therefore they're not being involved in accidents because, sadly, they've been drinking and driving. I imagine because they're not gathering in social spaces, they're therefore not irritating one another and then deciding to harm each other in the ways that we see when there is a massive party somewhere in Cape Town or Johannesburg, yeah?
Well, so it certainly is difficult to separate the curfews or the limits on social engagement with the complete alcohol bans. However, last year in 2020, there were times when the curfew hours changed, but the bans did not, or vice versa, the ban changed while the curfew or the social contact was still allowed at the same rate. And actually, what it seems that the alcohol itself has an independent effect on trauma. And I think that we can already see that historically at month end, traditionally most of our public hospitals have a lot more trauma admissions when the general population gets paid, for example. So we do think that the availability of alcohol does impair people's judgment, both for drinking and driving, as well as intentional violence.
It will be safe to say then that you welcome the announcement by the president yesterday to move us to alert level 3.
Well, again, I think it's outside of my area of expertise to know that the partial bans will help decrease COVID-19 rates. I certainly do think that that is logical. But we do know just that we're unsure if that partial ban, and from our study, it didn't show that that would decrease trauma admissions to hospitals. And, you know, as somebody who works in the hospital, I think there we want to just make sure we have enough resources to treat persons who need hospitalization for COVID-19.
And we certainly hope that you will then have those resources. Thank you very much, Professor Catherine Chu, Director and Professor at the Center for Global Surgery at Stellenbosch University.